Chapter 52. Ron Hates the Yule Ball. The first task came around before Harry realized it. Draco had been keeping him busy, what with them trying to turn each other into armchairs. And it was dragons. A letter from Sirius suggested he concentrate on his strengths, and mentioned he'd track down who Bertha Jorkins had been, a ministry witch murdered in Albania. Harry was more determined than ever to succeed at the first task, or at least not die, when Sirius confirmed that he'd made arrangements about number 12.
"I may not be able to be there, have to keep moving, but we'll see. Can't put the details in the letter."
Harry had a persistent vision of running away to number 12 before the holidays to hide from the dragons. But without an adult wizard there, he suspected he'd just end up getting cursed again, and visions of sarcasm danced in his head. He faced the dragon and survived, and it was good. Things were back to normal with Ron, and somehow that meant, without much discussion, that things were back to normal with Draco. Draco didn't seek him out, and pale eyes didn't veer sideways, indicating a side hallway they could duel in anymore. Harry was surprised to miss it, but he'd missed Ron more. Harry had a nasty shock when he realized the Yule Ball meant he was expected to stay at Hogwarts for Christmas. The first Christmas he actually wanted to go someplace else, he thought, resentfully. He wrote to Sirius and received assurances that things could still go ahead over spring break, assuming his champion duties allowed. Being a champion was a pain. And then, the day after the Yule Ball was announced, Draco Malfoy approached Hermione as they were leaving Potions and bowed politely. "Miss Granger, may I have a word?" Hermione looked at him strangely, but nodded. "Privately?"
"As if we'd let you take Hermione off someplace to hex," Ron said hotly.
Draco smiled thinly.
"Very well. Miss Granger, would you do me the great honor of accompanying me to the Yule Ball?"
Harry choked. So did Ron. Hermione said,
"You know you'd have to touch me to go to the ball with me, don't you?"
"Yes," Draco said, mild as milk. "I'm aware."
"You don't like me, do you?"
she asked in dawning horror. Draco's eyes half-lidded.
"You're a very pretty girl, and anyone would be lucky to have you attend with them."
Now everyone who knew Draco Malfoy knew he was lying. But it was at this point that Ron put his foot in it. "Everyone knows you never ask Hermione, and she's going with me, aren't you, Hermione?"
"Thank you, Draco," she said very coolly. "I'd be happy to go to the ball with you, since you were nice enough to ask."
To put it very mildly, Ron was not happy. Draco, on the other hand, seemed quite smug about the newspaper headlines that followed this invitation. After one too many strident objections from Ron, Hermione said, "Honestly, he's been much better this year, and Harry's friends with him. I'm sure we'll find something to talk about. He must be quite good at transfigurations to be an animagus, and I've been thinking about working out my own transformation."
"You're friends with Malfoy?" Ron asked Harry. "I thought you were just putting me on because you were cross."
Harry said eloquently. At which point Ron decided the only way out was to throw himself bodily into the lake, and Harry had to talk very quickly indeed to get Ron to snap out of it.
"And how does the second task progress?" Snape asked in the first week of Christmas break.
Harry tried to look innocent.
"I see," Snape said very precisely.
"Look, you're not allowed to help."
"No, I am not. I am, however, not forbidden from making your life miserable until you make progress. Life is full of little surprises, is it not?"
Harry scowled at him.
"The contact poison will take 48 hours to work. Either make your own antidote or make progress on your puzzle, Mr. Potter." Harry really hated him. You're not allowed to murder students.
Oh, it won't kill you, Snape said, quite cheerfully.
Erk!
The day before the Yule Ball, Harry took it upon himself to take along with Ron, Fred, and George, who cornered Draco before dinner.
Right, Ron gave Draco the evil eye. This may be some horrible joke for you, but you're gonna be nice about it tomorrow and treat Hermione like a lady, or we will make the rest of your life at school hell.
Draco, who was vastly outnumbered, shifted uncomfortably, gaze darting between them, shifted into a cat, and bolted without shame.
Hello, Harry, Draco said, when Hermione had gone off to dance with Victor Crumb, and Draco was following their path through the crowd with hooded, pale eyes. Harry, who had been abandoned by Parvati, looked awkward.
Hello, Draco.
Enjoying yourself?
Sure. You?
Surprisingly well. She cleans up nicely, doesn't she?
Harry studied Draco, who was still watching Hermione and Crumb.
No, Harry said flatly. I'm sorry?
No, you don't know.
I'm sure I don't know what you mean.
Aren't you supposed to have some sort of moral objection to dating Hermione? Harry asked desperately.
Only if I was serious, Draco said absently. A little bit of fun is understandable, and it does make Weasley make the best faces.
No.
Lighten up, Harry. Your face will stick that way.
Harry grabbed Draco's arm, and Draco shook him off.
You're going to catch people's attention, Draco murmured. Stop being ridiculous. I'm not going to hurt her.
Harry growled in the back of his throat.
I'm going to listen patiently some more while she explains about the plight of house elves, and how muggles are very clever for visiting the moon. The only person in danger will be me being bored to death.
Since this at least sounded like Draco was still Draco, and not someone using Polyjuice for some arcane reason, Harry drifted away, staying close enough to keep a weather eye on the pair throughout the evening. Hermione ended up spending quite a bit of time dancing with other people, which was something, he supposed. But somehow Harry still ended up standing with Ron, bemoaning life, the universe, and everything.
I reckon he slipped something into the water so everyone likes him, Ron opined about Draco.
Harry nodded glumly.
It's really the only explanation.
Don't worry, Harry, Ron said seriously. I'll save you both.
Thanks, Ron. You're a true friend.
They fled into the Rose Garden, where they overheard an interesting, ominous, conversation between Snape and Karkaroff. By the end of Christmas break, Harry had been poisoned 5 different ways, made 23 different possible antidotes, and figured out progressively that the egg was speaking a magical language, specifically, after an antidote that turned him blue, Mirmish. He was also very grateful for Cedric's hint, which may have saved his dignity, if not his life. Harry would really have preferred not to have the motivation. The papers seemed quite full of Harry and Draco's fictitious fight over Hermione after the Christmas break, including a number of technically accurate but very misleading quotes from Draco himself.
What's wrong with you?
Harry hissed at Care of Magical Creatures class.
Just playing to the narrative, Draco murmured. By the way, the other option was Hagrid being a half-giant. I suggest you give Ms. Skeeter a proper interview before she works her way around to it. For some reason, she doesn't like you.
I can't say I like her much either.
Like my father says, we're not allowed to kill reporters, so we must live with them.